Gary Thompson. I'm here with Randy Abrams, and this is the Malware Report. Randy, I noticed in the news recently the fact that there's some discussion that perhaps even small businesses need to take a look at their own quality control on security. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, sort of enterprises mulling over their own bug research?
Well, there's a variety of aspects to this. One of the things that's pretty important is penetration testing. So finding out where you're exposed at. If you have your own website that you're managing, then there's significant risk. And if you're using a hosting body, you want to have some sort of confidence that they're professionals and know how to secure the websites. But for a small business that's hosting their own website and, you know, capable of writing some HTML code, but they don't really understand the security ramifications, they probably need to hire a professional to do what's called pen testing or penetration testing, find out if they have flaws in their website that a hacker could use to turn against them, either steal data, deface the site so it doesn't look professional, leave malware on it so that users that go to that site get infected, things like that. So the penetration testing is one aspect. There's some talk about doing bug testing for the software that the businesses use. And rightly, many businesses say, you know, the vendors that are producing the software really need to do that bug testing. That's not our job. So there you get into a little bit of debate with some enterprises that have very highly technical staff doing that kind of bug testing anyway, because they don't want to trust everything to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But for a small business, it's not really viable, I think, for them to do their own bug testing on other people's software.
So what do they do?
You deal with reputable companies. Now, even in that case, there can be bugs. I would call Microsoft a reputable company. Depending on what reputation you're talking about, you may or may not agree. However, defense in depth is really important. Software today is very, very complex, and it has been for a while. And you're not likely to get all the bugs out. So what you do is, what happens if something goes wrong? In a car, you've got your seatbelt on, you've got airbags, side impact airbags, anti-lock braking, all kinds of things for what if something goes wrong. Well, for a computer, you've got defense in depth also, and that includes using high-quality antivirus software, anti-spyware, anti-adware, all of which you can get in an integrated package like Nod32. It also means using a firewall. It means using some, I hesitate to call it, but common sense in where you surf. Perhaps you want to use some sort of filtering software so that you can't get to a lot of known bad websites,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Well, so, I mean, are there things you should be asking your provider? I mean, can you literally, if you ask them how many bug patches they've had in the last 18 months, will they tell you?
They probably will, but I don't know that how many bug patches in a specific period of time is going to give you the information that you really need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it better to have 18 bug patches with 20 bugs overall, or to have 3 bug patches with 12 bugs overall?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one with 20 bugs overall has got more bugs, but they patched more of them.
Right, right.
So, and there's lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yeah. I've heard the term security threat modeling. What is that exactly?
It's kind of trying to take a holistic approach to looking at what your profile is, what it looks like to an attacker, you know, how many kinds of threats are you exposed to and from what avenues. So you want to see, you know, if you're using the web, then that will become part of your threat model. And depending on how you have it locked down, do you have filtering so that you can only go to specific websites? That changes your threat model.
Mm-hmm.
Do you whitelist or do you blacklist? Blacklisting is probably a little easier to do in some cases, but it's not as effective as whitelisting. However, whitelisting is very, very time and cost intensive in most cases.
What exactly is whitelisting for? There may be people that just don't understand the difference between whitelist and blacklist.
A whitelist is a list for a web browser in this case, it's a list of websites that you're allowed to go to. If the website isn't on the list, you can't go there.
Hmm.
So if you're trying to do research, it can be pretty darn tricky, because most of the sites that Google's going to come back with, you can't go to unless you've added them to the whitelist. And just adding things to the whitelist isn't going to do you much good, because you have to inspect them and find out, are these sites that I should allow people to go to? Are they safe to go to? Whereas the blacklist says, we know these sites are bad, so you can't go to these bad sites, and everywhere else you're free to go to.
So I know you can buy filtering software for your small business that will help you with that. I would imagine, I mean, from what we're saying here, that the especially if you're talking about securing your website, that for a small business, the extra cost of using an outside vendor that might assist you with looking at your entire security threat modeling is, it may be expensive, but the opposite, or not doing it, really is putting your entire corporate reputation on the line.
That's true, and how expensive it is and how much it's worth to you is going to depend a lot upon the kind of work you do and what the cost of an incident would be. If you've got a lot of confidential information that's protected by HIPAA or other state and federal laws, then it might not be a choice for you. If you're selling jewelry, then maybe a malicious software incident isn't going to hurt your business that much, depending on what your business looks like. And of course, the web's only one aspect of threat modeling. You know, what kinds of software you're using, what kinds of employees you have, what kinds of security you've got in place, all that goes into creating a threat model.
Well, that's certainly something that businesses of any size need to be considering. It sounds like it makes sense to really talk to your vendor to make sure that they've thought through this carefully and provide you the right answers. Well, that's all we have for today. If people have additional questions about this topic, they can reach you at
askeset@eset.com.
Terrific, Randy. Thanks very much. This has been Gary Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report.